Hello, everybody, and welcome to another Spiritual Hollywood Hour. Tonight we have as our wonderful guest Dr. John DeMartini, one of the stars of The Secret, international speaker and best-selling author. And I will give you his website so you can just go ahead and pull that up, being this is internet radio, and get a look at what he has going on. www.drdemartini.com. That's www.drdemartini.com. And I will just give you a little overview of Dr. DeMartini. I'm sure many of you know who he is, and those of you who don't will after the show is completed. Dr. DeMartini is the creator of the DeMartini Method, which is a culmination of more than 30 years of research and studies in numerous disciplines, including physics and philosophy and theology and metaphysics, philosophy, astronomy and mathematics and neurology and physiology and every ology you can think of. It is a revolutionary transformation method which results in a new and refreshing paradigm in thinking and feeling. What once took weeks or months or even years can now be accomplished in a matter of hours, and it's a foolproof and effective means of transforming any form of stress or conflict into grateful states of love and vitality. The method involves the use of predetermined series of questions and actions directed toward the objective of bringing an individual's conscious mind to states of presence and certainty, and to their physical body, the feelings of gratitude and unconditional love. And this method is being used in over 50 countries throughout the world and is being studied in a number of universities. And millions and millions of individuals have now heard of this stress-reducing, conflict-resolving, and heart-opening method, which is just astounding and comes through years and years of Dr. John DeMartini's making the absolute best out of what life gave him and turning everything around to be the magnificent leader that he is today. And I don't mean to embarrass you, Dr. DeMartini, but without further ado, I'd like to bring you on and say welcome so much to our show.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. So I've been doing a little bit of research on you, and we have a mutual friend, Steve Tullius, and his wife, Erin Tullius.
Yeah.
He's actually just a very grateful student of yours and has learned a great deal about his chiropractic business and practice through your methods and your way of doing things. And I was just listening to a couple of CDs on the DeMartini Method, which is just astounding. And it's almost like a new kind of a 12-step program, if you will, where addiction doesn't stand a chance in the face of the logical thinking that this is, and of the bringing clarity to what a person's value system is and where the value system came from, and shifting the value system basically to bring them a new way of being. Is that correct?
Well, every human being has a set of values, and whatever's highest on that list of values is where they tend to bring discipline and order and focus, and where they are, you know, masterful.
Mm-hmm.
And whatever is lower on their value system is where they bring their chaos, frustration, hesitation. And what happens is when people are setting objectives in life and they are abiding and aligning to their highest values, they're amazing in their manifestation. But when they're not, and they're trying to be somebody they're not and injecting the values of others into their life and trying to live somebody else's life, then they're wondering why they cannot manifest as easily. And so those value systems are important. And we judge everything. We make all decisions by the values, and all the things we see and observe and act upon in the world are all based on it. So the values are a core of our real being. And the breakthrough, the DeMartini Method, is designed to identify what those values are and to integrate perceptions in such a way that we're able to live them fully.
Yes. And it's just incredible, just incredible. Can you tell our listeners how they can find out more about that?
Well, they can go to our website, obviously, and they can go to www.drdemartini.com, and they can look on the itinerary. One of the programs that I teach people that method is in a program called the Breakthrough Experience.
Mm-hmm.
I also have a training program for people who are seriously wanting to, once they've seen the impact it has, they want to train in it. We have psychologists, psychiatrists, theologians, health professionals, corporate coaches and consultants, all kind of people using it. And what they do is they use it for managing and helping people manage their state so they can be more inspired by what they're doing instead of being distracted by, I guess you could say, stresses in life.
Right. I would just love it if you could give our listeners a thumbnail view of your beginnings in life and the messages that you received about who you would be and how you turned that around for yourself. I think that's just one of the most inspiring stories that I've ever heard, and that basically you can get to the point where when the voice and the vision on the inside become louder and clearer than that of on the outside, then you've really stepped into your power and that there's a genius in everyone.
Well, I'm a firm believer in that, and you said it perfectly. So I say that when I was a teenager, I had the opportunity to meet an amazing teacher that truly inspired me. Prior to that, I had dropped out of school. I had lived on the streets. I was a kind of a long-haired hippie, 60-70 surfer kid. And I was told in first grade that I would never read, write, or communicate, never amount to anything, never go very far in life. That's why I lived on the streets.
Mm-hmm.
And so then I met this amazing teacher when I was 17 named Paul Bragg, who truly was inspired. I mean, he was an amazing guy. And he had me, with a state of certainty, believe I could be expressing genius. And his certainty and his presentation one night at a little class that I attended turned my life around. And I am doing today what I'm doing as a result of meeting this man. And I have had a dream ever since that time to do the same thing for other people. So that's one individual can touch your life, and hopefully I can do the same thing for others.
And you certainly are doing the same thing for others. And what is that affirmation, if you wouldn't mind sharing it, that he said that you should say every single day of your life?
Well, he told me when I told him that I saw a vision of being a teacher, and I said, but I don't know how to do it. I don't even know how to read.
Mm-hmm.
He said, that's not a problem. Here's what you do. And he told me to say, I am a genius and I apply my wisdom. And he made me say it over and over again. He said, now say this affirmation every single day. I'm a genius and I apply my wisdom. Every single day, never miss a day for the rest of your life. And he says, sooner or later, the cells of your body will tingle with it, and so will the world. Well, I did what he said because of his certainty. And I can say that I didn't see an immediate impact, but I can say that after a period of time, within 2 years, I had taken a GED high school equivalency test. I'd taken a college entrance exam test and passed. I ended up taking a class in history and English. I bombed the first one. I almost gave up. I got inspired by my mother, who told me that she loved me no matter what I did, if I dropped out, lived on the streets, or became a teacher. Got inspired, went back, and started to learn to read. And then within a year and a half to 2 years of the time he first gave that to me, I ended up excelling all of a sudden in school after a lot of work, a lot of work. And here I was in a little library and tutoring a class on calculus all of a sudden, and one kid whispered to another kid that DeMartini, he's a friggin' genius. And when I heard him say that, I realized that one statement that you can say to yourself every day can have an impact on your life. And that night I decided to fill my day with 24 hours worth of affirmations. And so today I have a vast amount of affirmations that run through my mind, and because I learned a long time ago, if you don't plant flowers in the garden of your mind, you're going to pull weeds. And our mind is like a garden, and so we have to fill it with what we want instead of what we don't.
Absolutely. And I believe, too, that for me personally, when my mind is idle, unless I fill it with affirmations, it's going to fill with something from my past that hasn't gotten me where I wanted to go.
Well, there's a law in the universe that is based on consciousness, that any space and time that's not filled with high-priority things will get filled with low-priority things. And any time or any energy and matter or resource that's not consumed by high-priority things will get consumed by low-priority things. So we have really an intention, a conscious intention, to focus on what we want if we want to manifest what we want in life. And if we don't take command of that, then we're automatically subject to everybody else's intentions. So it's our responsibility to do so.
Absolutely. And, you know, I'm just so excited to see the journey that you've been on and where it's led you, because it does not matter what condition anybody's self-esteem is in, no matter what age they are, they can absolutely turn it around. They can absolutely turn it around. And I know that you have a philosophy that goes sort of like your net worth reflects your self-worth. And you have a book out right now that's called How to Make One Hell of a Profit and Still Get into Heaven.
It's funny. You know, I was walking down Madison Avenue. I'm in New York right now, and I was walking down Madison Avenue one night on my way to a little Italian restaurant.
Yes.
And I just bought a white suit.
Mm-hmm.
So I was, remember that night. And that title came to me, How to Make One Hell of a Profit and Still Get to Heaven. I had to write it down on a little piece of paper, a napkin.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, God, I'd love to write that book because so many people have a spiritual quest but feel ungrounded materially.
Mm-hmm.
Or they have a material quest and have no inspiration and vision in their life. And I said, well, there's no reason why we can't put the two together. And I always say that spirit without matter is expressionless and matter without spirit is motionless. And true inspirations can drive great material causes. And this is what history has shown. So I try to put the two together. And for people that have an internal moral dilemma or conflict between their spiritual quest and their material wealth, this book dissolves it and helps people give very specific strategies on how to save money, build wealth, and live a spiritual mission.
That's beautiful. And I'm a talent manager, life coach, co-creator of quantum hypnotherapy, and I do a lot of work in along the same vein as helping people get back to who they really are, back to their true nature and their divinity. And what I'm finding is a lot of time there is this inner conflict of I can't be a good spiritual person and make a huge profit at the same time. It's just not right. And some people I coach actually give away any extra money they make rather than save it.
This goes back to the hierarchy of your values, because the hierarchy of your values dictates your financial destiny.
Yes.
I have people, and I speak in front of thousands of people, and I sometimes ask how many of you want to be wealthy,
mm-hmm.
and they all put their hands up.
Mm-hmm.
And then what happened, I said, well, how many of you have vast cash flow and wealth?
Mm-hmm.
And they put their hands down, most of them. And I said, well, you know, your hierarchy of values dictates this. So if your highest value is your children, children's education, children's health, children's, you know, things, and your house and your furniture and travel and clothes and shopping, and way down number 31 on your list is saving money and building wealth, then no matter how much money you make, you're not going to have any money. It's immediately going to be spent on your children, your clothes, your, you know, all the other things that are more important.
Yes.
So unless you have a value on saving money and building wealth, truly, and it's not, it's got to be up in the top values, it's automatically going to be spent. So when people say, I want to be wealthy, and then they don't have it really high in their values, then they basically, you know, bang their head against the wall wondering, why can't I keep money?
Yeah.
And but a lot of people think that somehow it's not spiritual to be wealthy, which is really a real farce, because, you know, some of the wealthiest places on the planet are spiritual centers.
Yes.
And I always say that, you know, people say it's more blessed to give than to receive. Well, if that's true, then the people who are receiving are all cursed, you know. So I always say that it's better to have fair exchange in the book. Okay. I have a whole chapter on fair exchange in there.
Yes.
And I think it's wise to honor that, you know, when you do a service and you get reward, there's clean exchange.
Mm-hmm.
When you feel like somebody owes you something or you owe somebody, there's an incomplete.
Yes.
And I think it's wise to have a fair exchange. So the book is basically designed to integrate their spiritual quest and their material quest so they can be present and inspired on some cause that's a service to the world.
Yes. And I believe, too, personally, which I'm sure that you would resonate with, is that any time you have shifted your consciousness, no matter what vocation you have, no matter what job you're doing, it doesn't matter if you're a dry cleaner or a CEO of a corporation, when you shift your consciousness to be of service, the universe shows up to support that and your physical needs are provided for.
Well, what happens is, you know, your hierarchy of values dictates what you see in the world and what you act upon and how you decide in the world, because it determines your sensory motor functions and decision, conscious decisions. So the second you value something, I mean, it's amazing. It's just like if you go all of a sudden say, okay, I'm going to finally buy me this particular car.
Mm-hmm.
You may not have seen that car anywhere around for months.
Mm-hmm.
The second you buy it, you see it everywhere, because once you valued it, your sensory systems lock onto it, your motor systems act upon it, and your decisions go faster. So what happens is you see opportunities once you value something. They're all around you, but you can't see them until you value it. And once you do, your intention targets it. It selectively attends to the opportunities that are there. So if you really value money, those that do, they end up manifesting opportunities to get it.
Mm-hmm. And there's a thing too with which I know there was a lot of controversy about The Secret, which I think the critical reviews can be good because it puts attention on something wonderful like The Secret is, and it's ancient wisdom that's been around for thousands of years. But Rhonda Byrne channeled it and repackaged it in a new way that really speaks to the masses. And what the critics were saying is that, oh, they say that you can just sit around and visualize something and it'll show up on your doorstep. Well, that's not true. The Secret isn't saying that. It's saying inspired action combined with these steps that you've just described.
Well, I was introduced to The Secret by Paul Bragg when I was 17, so I'm 35 years. November will be 35 years I've been utilizing.
Wonderful. And he was 93 when you met him, wasn't he?
That's what I was told. Now, I've heard controversy about that, but I believe that's accurate. I was with his daughter a few months ago, and she's way up in age, and she's ageless, and she's just the most vibrant lady you've ever met.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was very inspiring to meet him, her, and so I think that that's accurate, the dates. But, you know, what's interesting is he taught us that. He said that, you know, you want to define what it is you love, you have to think about it, you have to visualize it, you have to affirm it, you have to think, you know, take actions towards it, plan for it, you know. You don't just sit there in la-la land and say, okay, I want $1 million, and by God, it's 2 hours later, I still haven't found it.
Yeah, where's
you
my
know, that's,
stuff?
That's fantasy.
Yeah.
I always say that if you want $1 million or 10 million or 100 million or 1,000 million or whatever you want, all you got to do is ask yourself, so in order to do that, I must provide that kind of service.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I ask people around the world, how many of you have used Microsoft Windows? Almost everybody puts their hand up.
Mm-hmm.
I said, now you know why he's a billionaire. He's found something that everybody has a need for.
Mm-hmm.
If we as an individual find something that people need and benefit by, there's no reason why we can't become billionaires too.
Yes.
That's service. That's where spirituality and serving come from. That's what it's about, finding out the needs of others and serve them. And when you do, you get rewarded. That's the way life is set up.
And what I get loud and clear in my research of how you've come to be where you are, I see that you knew that people in the world had a need to feel better, and you've provided them a way to get there that's very simple, very elegant, and absolutely integratable, if that's a word, for any person on any level that they are, to start from right now and to turn their life around right now, because it's a conscious choice that you make. And coming from where you come from and being so generous to share yourself in the way that you have about, you know, what life threw at you, and it gave you many reasons to fail, but you didn't fail. Instead, you prevailed, and you're still prevailing. And I have it that there's a whole lot of more greatness in you that we get to experience, and there's just no stopping it from coming. And you've opened yourself for that and to that from the greatest adversities, and I can't think of anything more inspiring than somebody coming from being told that they would never make it in the world, and they would really never make much of their life, and they can't read and they can't write. And you even had some deformities at birth, did you not?
Well, I had my foot and hand were turned in, and probably from the position I was in the womb or something. But
mm-hmm.
And I had to wear braces and things, kind of like a Forrest Gump thing.
Right.
But I, you know, I just pleaded with my dad if I could take them off. I'd promise to keep my arm and leg straight. And you know, later because of that, I was driven to want to run, and I guess I've been on the run ever since. I travel so much. but you know, I don't, I mean, I'm a dedicated and perseverant guy, no doubt.
Yes.
But at the same time, I met some amazing people that make my life look, you know, tame.
Yes.
I met a boy in Africa, South Africa, who's 14, let's see, no, he's, yeah, 14 years old. He has 9 brothers and sisters. His mother and father both died of AIDS. He lives in a shack. It's about 7 by 9. All of them live inside that. The roof has got a lot of holes. I've actually visited it.
Mm.
He makes $200 a year. He's raising 9 of his brothers and sisters by himself. And he's saving 15% of his money.
Mm.
Can you get that now?
Yes.
That's $7. He saved $7 in the last quarter of last year, and he's already, I think he's sitting, I'm not sure he is now, but I have to ask him when I get there in a couple weeks. But here's a hero. Here's a guy that is on a mission. He is planning before 1 year from now to have enough money to put a down deposit on a $200 house, which has a metal roof without holes in it.
Mm-hmm.
He's working a way up where he wants to have electrical wires there so he has some light for his brothers and sisters. There's no light during the night.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, here's a hero. He has a goal and dream that once he's accomplished it, he's going to make sure that 1,000 of his friends in his neighborhood, because there's 2 million people that live in Khayelitsha, that's in 1 square mile, he's going to make sure that he tries to inspire 1,000 kids to do the same. Now, to me, that's a hero.
Yes.
That's an amazing story. 14-year-old kid, and he came to a little program I did on, you know, living your life of your dreams in that's in Cape Town, South Africa. And he came up to me and he gave me a high five and he says, I'm going to do it. And I recently, when I was there recently, I actually got to go and visit this kid, and it was just amazing.
Wow.
So there are people out there that it doesn't matter where you come from. Doesn't matter what you're going through. It just matters you have a dream, and this kid has a dream. And those are inspiring, those stories.
Yes.
I mean, I had a foot turned in, but this guy had some challenges that I didn't have to deal with.
Right. But the thing is also, people like this person you just described, and thank you for sharing that. That was very, very moving. He was inspired by you as well, was he not?
Well, yeah, he was. He was having a rough time, and he somehow, I'm not sure who paid for it, because it was a little, I think it was like, I think they had to pay 50 Rand, which is about $7, to come to this evening event.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not sure if somebody paid for it. I think somebody did. And brought him there and inspired him.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I guess that
you
was
had a lot
turning
to do
point.
With that. And it's not to put a bunch of attention on the messenger, but the message that you bring is really, really the star of the show. The message that any of us bring that make a difference in the world is really the star of the show.
Well, the thing is I always say that nobody's worth putting on pedestals, nobody's worth putting in pits, but everybody's worth putting in hearts. And if you put somebody above you or below you, you miss out on the magnificence of you.
Mm-hmm.
And because you're preoccupied with changing them or changing you relative to people.
Yeah, is that from the book The Heart of Love?
Well, I mention it in a number of my books, but that is definitely one of them.
Right.
And The Heart of Love is a book on relationships for those that might be listening. But
that you wrote, and you also say in that book, which I found very, very inspiring, and you go around not knowing how you're showing up, and then you read something and you go, oh my gosh, I do that, and then you see the side effects of that behavior, and you go, wow, no wonder things are a little funky or a lot funky. But you say in there, the moment that we project our values onto others, we push them away. And that really spoke to me and really made me do, take a YOU turn and look at myself and see where I was doing that.
You know, I consulted Sunday night. I do a program called the Breakthrough Experience, which is a really amazing program.
Yes.
And afterwards, there were a few people that I really didn't feel got what I hoped for.
Mm-hmm.
And I told them, I said, look, you didn't really get it, and I made a commitment to everybody get it, so here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to have you, I have to do a dinner. I had a dinner with Mark Victor Hansen, and I said, when I get back, I'll do consults with all of you to make sure it's all done. And so I did a 9 to 10, 10 to 11, 11 to 12, 12 to 1, and 1 to 2 consult that night.
Mm-hmm.
And to make sure that the last five people got it. And one of them was a fighting couple that were just going at each other, and they were just alienated to each other.
Mm-hmm.
And both of them were projecting their values and expectations onto the other one. And I said, this is not going to get you anywhere. You're going to bang your head against the wall. You're going to age. You're going to run down your hormones. You're going to run down your immune system. So just realize that people have a set of values. They live according to those values. Whenever you communicate in those values, they feel open and they are receptive and they tend to be interactive and help you. When you go against their values, they fight you. And you both are just projecting your values and thinking you're right and they're wrong, and you're just trying to make them different.
Mm-hmm.
And people, when you love them for who they are, they turn into who you love. And they resist you once you project your values onto them. And so I just went over basic things, and I finally broken through it and doing the DeMartini method on them so they could dissolve the conflict. We got them through it. It was, the last one was 2 o'clock in the morning. It was 2:15, actually.
Mm-hmm.
I finally got them. They finally broke down. They got into tears. They embraced each other, and we made some, I didn't want to stop. That's just my commitment to myself. I didn't want to stop till we got it.
Mm-hmm.
And they had a nice email today saying that they have been able to communicate in a whole lot of difference since that 2 days ago.
That's so wonderful. That is just wonderful. And, I found that not only every relationship I've ever been in my life or every person that I meet or even the relationship I have with myself is here to get me conscious of my own behavior.
Well, I always say that all symptoms in our life, whether they be spiritual, mental, career, financial, family, social, or physical symptoms, are all feedback mechanisms to guide us back to the truth of love and to be authentic.
Mm-hmm.
And so anytime we're not authentic in our perceptions or actions, then we get the feedback system of the symptoms to try to guide us back. And we think that those symptoms are bad, but they're actually guiding process and the feedback system to help us. and we learn how to interpret them wisely, then we use them, and we thank our own inner being and body to guide us back.
Right. And you also mentioned in there a wonderful way to find out if you're infatuated or if it's love. Why don't you tell our listeners about that?
Well, you know, if you're infatuated, you're blind to the downsides. If you're resentful, you're blind to the upsides. Your intuition is trying to reveal the disowned side and to help you see the whole. Because when you really love somebody, you see a balance. And when you're infatuated, you only see the positive without the negative.
Mm-hmm.
And the wisdom is seeing both, because the truth is that people have, you know, two sides like a magnet. They manifest a magnet.
Mm-hmm.
So when you're infatuated, then you have a broken heart if they leave you. And if you love, you feel it's just a transformation. They can come and go. I always say that a master lives in a world of transformation, and the general audience of the world basically lives in the illusions of gain and loss, because they live in infatuation and resentment all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And they oscillate. Because when you're infatuated with somebody, they consume space and time in your mind and run you. And when you're resentful, they do the same thing, but in a different format. And when you love somebody, you're actually liberated by the truth of love. And you're just to love them for who they are, and they can come in and go out of your life without being overly stressed. When you're in love, you have the greatest adaptability. You're able to adapt to the changing environment. And when you're infatuated, you get hold on, and you're resentful, you hold on to things. You don't adapt to the changing environment. Life's stressful, and you age.
Mm-hmm. That makes perfect sense. And for perfect balance in a relationship, I mean, one could aspire for that, is to love the dark side as well as the light side, and the mean person as well as the nice person.
Well, I always say that, you know, we have a set of values, and whatever supports that value, anytime we see something we think supports it, we call it good, and we call it light, and anything that's challenged it, we think it's, you know, bad or dark. But in truth, the things that we need in life, we need challenge. We've been demonstrated to grow most at the border of support and challenge. We have a sympathetic and the sympathetic and parasympathetic autonomic nervous systems. The sympathetic is designed for challenge. The parasympathetic is designed for support. We must have those in balance to grow and to normalize our physiology. And so to our life must have support and challenge. And so real love, a true love, is a synthesis and synchronicity of support and challenge. And that's why if you get in a relationship and you get puffed up and cocky and think you're better and greater than somebody, their job is to pop that little pimple and bring you back down. And if you're down and you're kind of the underdog, then their job to let you know you're not that bad of a person. You're worth something. So they're basically equilibrating. And equilibration is what leads us to authenticity and our most inspired and loving state. So I think that the universe is actually a feedback system helping us be authentic, helping us love and see the world from the eyes of love.
Yes, and I've experienced many situations where it's very evident when a person has separated themselves from the unified field of love, that's when they experience that psychic pain where they've really lost themselves. And to bring them back into homeostasis and back into that wonderful place of remembering who they are is, you can find that through relationship. And that in my opinion would be the perfect kind of mate, is somebody who can kick your butt when you need it and love you when you need it.
Well, they kick and kiss. That's what I say.
They what?
They kick and kiss.
They
kick your butt and kiss your butt. It's got to be both.
Yes,
and if you don't, have somebody that's willing to do that, mm-hmm. the relationship eventually reminds them that it's necessary.
Yes.
And I always say that the person that can't stand up to you is not, it's not going to work. You got to have somebody that can stand up to you.
Yes.
Call you on your stuff.
Yes, absolutely. And will there be, Dr. DeMartini, any breakthrough experience seminars being done in Los Angeles in the near future?
I was told, I think yesterday, that they're planning one, I want to guess, in August or something.
Mm-hmm.
I believe it's in August, but I don't know. My website is the one that will best check that out, because it'll be on the website soon. I think that Matt is going to put one, or one of my hosts there is going to put one together there. I don't know the exact dates, but I think it's in August. It may not be till November, but I think it's August.
And do you always lead those yourself?
Well, I do, 33, 34, 35 breakthrough programs a year. And then what I do is I have trained facilitators also assisting me, and then I have trained facilitators also teaching it. They've been licensed to do that. But I still do 34, 35 of those a year. And this year, I think 35, because we're doing three in a week in Australia coming up.
Wow. And you do approximately 300 speaking engagements a year, is that
true? Well, actually, this year, I'm on track for 420.
Oh, my goodness.
My goal is to reach 400 in a year, and this year I'm going to break it. I am at 182 so far this year. I got another one tomorrow night.
Wonderful.
And my goal is over 400 speeches in a year. It's just been a personal goal because I met a guy that said he did 250, and so I set a goal to do 300. And then when I broke that record, I thought, I'm just going to see if I can do 400 and hit the most speeches in a year of any speaker. So.
Yeah, and I know that Steve Tullius is aspiring to treat 100 patients in a day, and I see him doing that. He did 51 very recently, chiropractic, and I had Dr. John Holland on my show last Tuesday. I don't know if you know who he is, but he is in the Chicken Soup for the Chiropractic Soul. He's listed three times in there, and
yep.
And is just a very grateful student of yours as well, and follows your philosophy very closely. And he's a wonderful chiropractor. He's my chiropractor, and we had a superb show, and we talked about you a bit. So I'm sure he's listening right now. So hello, Dr. John Holland, and hello, Steve Tullius.
And they're great beings.
Yes, they are.
I always say that I'm a chiropractor, and I align spines and minds of the divine to make people feel fine. And these guys, they know what I'm talking about. They live it every day, and they're in the trenches, and they're serving people. And I'm blessed to be able to speak around the world to chiropractors to help them in their practice. And I don't get the practice. I mean, I still adjust people when I'm on the road, but I don't have a full-time practice anymore.
Yeah, well, chiropractic is just, it's a belief that we have the power innately inside of us to heal ourselves. Is that right?
Well, absolutely, because, I wrote a two-volume set called Mysteries of the Living Cell,
mm-hmm.
and I went exploring cell physiology, and it's just an amazing field. And the top Nobel Prize winners in biology and in physiology and genetics and everything else, they're humbled before the intelligence is living in the cell. I mean,
mm-hmm.
the magnitude of enzyme reactions and genetic information and the pathways of biochemistry in there are just, they're mind-boggling.
Mm-hmm.
And to think that they're all going on in a synchronous fashion and living, and then put together trillions of those cells into a human body, and then, of course, billions of the people on the planet, plus all the jillions of life forms. Do you know that 90% of our body is microorganisms?
Mm-hmm.
We are only 10% of our actual body weight.
Mm.
And so there's a literally an internal ecosystem of living entities that live literally through us and help us and build and destroy tissues and things and remodel our bodies and adapt. And anybody that doesn't acknowledge the intelligence of this thing is just, I don't know how they could overlook it. It's just amazing.
Well,
so I'm humble before it. Why I love chiropractic philosophy, because it's acknowledging this intelligence, not playing the ego trip thinking it knows best.
Yes.
There's a vast intelligence sitting inside our body.
Yes, there are universes inside of our bodies.
That's true.
Not just outside.
It's a little mini universe.
Absolutely. And the breakthrough experience, I just want to let our listeners know that this is a really, really fantastic seminar, and it works on the mind, career, finance, relationships, social power and leadership, health, mind and body connection, and spiritual quest. So it really covers, all of the main areas of living a balanced, healthy life. And I know for myself, the next time you're in Los Angeles, I can't wait to be there in the front row just taking it all in, because it doesn't matter how evolved we think we might be, there's always more, and there's always more to learn. And just as much as there are vast universes inside of us, there are vast universes yet to be explored. And
so true. The infinite micro and infinite macro is our domains of the future.
Mm-hmm.
And I always say, as long as you're green, you're growing. As soon as you're ripe, you're rot. We're here to continue to grow.
That's great.
Otherwise, we're in dogma and stagnation instead of growth.
Mm-hmm.
And I always say that if we really are truly authentic with ourselves and don't exaggerate or minimize ourselves relative to others or others relative to us, and we balance and have reflective consciousness, where all the things on the outside, the seer, the seeing, and the seen are always the same. We're just reflections of our own projections. We are in a state of equilibrium, and when we do, that's when we grow at the maximum rate. That's when we continue to expand and grow, and our sphere of awareness and influence continues to open up. And of the vastness of our potential is amazing. That's all I can say. And watching people unfold that and unveil their magnificence and their light, as they will, is what I love. That's what I love most about my life.
Oh yeah, and you can always find outer satisfaction just by shifting and adjusting your inner beliefs.
That's what I loved about chiropractic too, because chiropractic had a philosophy that said that there is a thing called an adjustment, and ad means bring to center, and just meant bring to balance, and mint means the mind.
Mm-hmm.
And so, if the chiropractor becomes centered and present, and the patient becomes centered and present, the body does amazing things. Its homeostatic mechanism brings amazing healing capacities. And I always say when you're in that center place, you have gratitude and love of the heart, and certainty and presence of the mind, and inspired mind, listening to the spirit and the enthusiastic body that's grounded. And you put those all together, and magnificent healing and human potential emerges.
You know, when you said the word enthusiastic, I mean, every time I hear that word, I really get present to where that word comes from. And it's actually the Greek word entheos is the root word, and entheos means God. And when you're enthusiastic, you are in your source, and you are, you know, channeling pure God. And people cannot look away from you when you are enthusiastic.
That's right. Well, divinity originally, from an astronomical perspective, was considered the source of light. As Aristotle said, it's the unmoving mover in the center of the galaxy that gives light to the world. So I guess they call the soul the life spark of our body. And so I think that it means represents fire. As Dante described it in the Empyrean, he said it's the place of purification of fire. And whatever it is, I like to think of the entheos as basically being so much on fire that people come around to watch you burn.
That's terrific. And also, I think you would probably resonate with, if you don't have something to live for, that you're actually creating something to die for.
Well, that's better said than I usually say it, so I think that's a perfect way of doing it. You know, it's true. If, you know, I've watched people over the years now, being the healing arts, that people literally, if they've got a granddaughter or a great-granddaughter or whatever that's getting ready to go to school or graduate or whatever, they'll stay alive for that graduation and die a week later.
Yeah.
I think because that's their dream. And as long as you have something to live for, it's very important. When I studied longevity, and I made it a very deep study for a number of years, you know, what is it that maximizes length of life? And one of them, believe it or not, is wealth. Because people that live, that have greater wealth tend to live longer. So well-being. And the other one is having a mission, that is service that you dedicate your life to. Because that's why so many old people that don't feel like they serve anybody, they're always asking, can I help you in some way?
Mm-hmm.
They know that it's essential for them to have life. If they feel that they're useless, they don't serve a purpose, then they tend to die.
Mm-hmm.
So they have to have a purpose and some sort of service to the world.
Yes.
And then they obviously have to keep moving. You know, that's why I always say the people that live longest typically walk.
Yes.
And they drink a lot of water, and they breathe deeply, and they have a mission to live for, and they're grateful.
Yes, and my co-creator partner, Alex Sheep, is for quantum hypnotherapy, is 70 years old, and Dr. Holland said that people will lose bets on touching his spine, chiropractors, because he doesn't even have the spine of a 50-year-old. And it's because he walks and he drinks water and he takes good care of himself and he thinks positive thoughts, and we have a mission where we are returning one person at a time back to their divinity through quantum hypnotherapy, working on the superconscious, the conscious, and the subconscious mind, all three. And it's just incredible what we're doing. And Steve Tullia said he had mentioned to you about this thing that we're doing and how similar it is in the work that you're doing. And I believe the more people who believe that they can make a difference in the world and actually just go for it with inspired action, the more people that do that, the more our world will benefit even by tomorrow.
Well, you know, it's there's a thing that I remember studying when I was in biology class way back when I was about 19 years old, as a thing called syncytial function.
Mm-hmm.
And syncytial is a fancy word for kind of a networking. What they found out, and this is going to sound a little gross at first, but they used to take the heart of a frog. Mm-hmm. And in biology, we had to, you know, kind of kill the frog, take the heart out, and put it on a petri dish or on a special, I guess you could say, a spread dish.
Mm-hmm.
And we pour saline solution on it and keep it beating.
Mm.
And as long as there's saline solution and potassium and sodium, it would keep beating. Then what we'd do is we'd cut it up into little pieces, and they showed that as you cut up the heart into, say, 30 pieces and spread them out on the dish, they would all beat at different rates.
Hmm.
And then what would happen is if they put them closer together within centimeters of each other, they would synchronize their beats. And so what would happen is one of the leading pacemakers of the heart tissue would automatically synchronize the rest by an electrical field. And
wow.
So what happens, this is the same kind of thing as when you put a bunch of women in a dormitory, they start synchronizing their periods. Kind of
cycle, yeah.
And so what happens is there's a syncytial function. It's a synchronicity of functions that go on, and there's overlapping fields between individuals. And I've never forgotten that since I was 19, and I realized that if I'm at a seminar and I'm speaking, and there's, let's say, thousands of people there, 10, 12,000 people or something, if I get present with them and I have clarity and intention and I'm inspired by my message is and I share from the heart, the entire room syncytializes and basically joins together in a common beat. an amazing power has emerged. It's a mastermind composition that's basically, it's not just the sum of the parts. It's greater than the sum of the parts. And there's amazing things that emerge out of it. And then everybody then taps into a kind of a higher field, and then they all get inspirational ideas, and they walk out with a newness and a refreshing expansion of their awareness.
And a higher frequency.
Higher frequency, I guess you could say it as. And it's really quite amazing. You can see it in action.
Oh,
so, well, I guess as we all do what we're here to do, and we're doing what we love and loving what we do, we're participating in a matrix across the planet.
I have on my mirror, I'm looking right at it, it just says, I do what I love and I love what I do, and that I do wonderful work in a wonderful way. I make a wonderful living for wonderful pay, or something like that. It's not in front of me, that one isn't, but I say that every day as well. And I, with before I get out of bed in the morning, my left foot is thank, my right foot is you, and I say thank you for at least the first 10 minutes of everywhere I walk.
That's great. It's a smart way. I don't like to get out of bed until I have a tear of gratitude,
yes,
which I call the window washers of the mind, and allows inspiration to come through.
Yes.
And clean off the window washer so we have a clear vision in life each day.
Yes.
But I find that that's an important thing. And I have probably the largest collection of gratitude. It's the largest book and series of books on gratitude. It's kind of a big journal. It's been going on for 35 years.
Oh.
So I do it every night. I keep records of it.
Wonderful. And one thing that I do as well, and I encourage we work with, I have an intend your day sheet that I give everybody, and you just write down exactly how you want to feel, how you want to be, what you want to happen for your next day, and you read it before you go to sleep, and then before you get out of bed in the morning, you reread it before you get out of bed and get present to the gratitude of receiving it and give thanks for it before it happens, and then go about your day and watch it show up. It's miraculous.
Yeah, we are definitely creators of our own reality. We're captains of our ship, masters of our fate.
Totally. Now, if a person were to give 1,000 reasons of why they deserve great wealth, we could say to our listeners that that doesn't just mean money. That means health. That means love. That means self-respect. That means everything else in the world that one aspires to. Wealth covers it all. Is that correct?
Well, wealth and well-being and whole being all come from the same roots. Because according to Hubert Howe Bancroft, who wrote the Book of Wealth, he traced that word back, and it means whole well-being. Wealth means exactly that, wholeness and well-being in all aspects of life.
That makes perfect sense.
And cash, see, the value of cash or the ability of money is that it was designed to be a means of exchange of one thing of highest on a person's value and service to that exchange for something that's high on another person's value. So it's just a means of keeping a recorded equilibrium in exchange of people, so there's always fair exchange and accountability. And so, you know, people have, when somebody sees something that goes against their values in the way people spend their money, they label money bad, but actually money is neutral. It is neither good nor evil. It has no moral issue. It's simply a means of exchanging value for value.
Yes.
And once we understand that, then we realize that the more we actually serve in people's values, the more cash we're able to have in our life, and the more we're able to do with that cash, serve more values. So it's an ongoing, perpetual growth process.
Yes. And in your growth process, Dr. DeMartini, did you ever at any time write down 1,000 reasons for why you deserve great wealth?
Oh, a lot more than that. Mm-hmm.
And what do you mind sharing with us what some of those reasons are right off the top of your
head? Well, what I did is I wrote all the things over the years of that I've dreamed about doing. And I just took all the things that I was inspired by that I would love to contribute to the planet, because I want to make a contribution in all seven areas. I want to make a spiritual contribution, a mind development, educational contributions, career contributions, economic contributions, you know, family development. I mean, all areas I want to make a contribution in.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just asked myself, how is saving money and building wealth going to help me in these contributions? And it was easy to come up with 1,000 that way.
Right.
Because I had more than 1,000 goals.
Right. So you start with writing down your goals, just for our listeners, because a lot of people they don't know where to start. They're just so...
Well, just write down. But see, I've been working on... I have probably the longest... I mean, I don't know. Maybe there's others, but I haven't met them. The longest list of continually focusing on goals than anybody I know.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just having dinner, as I said, with Mark Victor Hansen the other day, and we've known each other 25 years, and we've been exchanging goals for years. And, 25 years ago, I sat with him at the Bally's in Las Vegas. We were doing a program together. And, he told me, he says, John, one of the things that I dream about doing is I want to create a runaway best-selling book filled with inspirational stories. This is before Chicken Soup ever was conceived.
Yeah.
So he wrote that down 25 years ago. And look what it's done today, 144 million copies.
Wow. That's amazing. And so the book, How to Make a Hell of a Profit and Still Get into Heaven, that's available everywhere, correct?
Well, I don't know about everywhere. It may not be in the person's bathroom, but they can get it hopefully at every bookstore, and if not, they can order it from the bookstore.
Well, hopefully it is in everybody's bathroom.
And if not, they can get it from my office at www.drdmartini.com.
Wonderful.
And, or you can order on Amazon. But all I know is that I've had so many testimonials about that book that in Africa, we went on a show for 40 million people on Carte Blanche television show, and that went to the top over Harry Potter. That book went just right to the top after that because so many people in Africa are using that now to save money and to build their wealth. It's just amazing.
Right. Well, I've saved 10%, not 15, but I might switch to 15. 10% as a single mom. And an actor in Hollywood, being this a spiritual Hollywood, just a quick background about me, a tiny bit. I was an actor for 15 years, single mom. My son was an actor. And I always worked. I always found a way to work. And so the things that you did and to get by, and you saw your challenges as opportunities, I did the same thing. And I couldn't afford the luxury of being afraid. I just had to go for it. I had to set a goal, and I had a son to support, and I did that as an actor, and then I eventually became a manager, and then I became an agent, and then a manager again, and throughout all of this experience, I've discovered that if I use the media of Hollywood to raise consciousness in the world, then I am harnessing an energy that is absolutely astoundingly effective, because it can go around the world in a second. Any information, any message, and to have a radio show and send that frequency out of this conversation that I'm having with you is raising consciousness even by osmosis, and I feel it every time a show is done. So, being that you were in The Secret, and The Secret is a groundbreaking internet movie that has really spoken to the uninitiated in a way that they haven't heard before, and puts them in the driver's seats of their lives, and the victimhood that was in the consciousness previously before that movie came out is becoming less and less. I mean, it's tangible, at least for me. The fact that you were in The Secret, and now you're on this radio show with me, which is Spiritual Hollywood, one of hundreds that you do every year. I just want to thank you for bringing yourself to the place where you could be a voice like this for all of us. And again, I'm not putting you on a pedestal so much as thanking you, like I do all of my guests, for hearing your calling, listening to it, and applying inspired action to get you to where you are, that you're moving, touching, inspiring so many millions of people because you just heard your calling and you acted on it. And so many people go through their lifetime without acting on that urge in their hero's heart, and just, they just need to tell somebody. They just need to ask for help. They just need to let somebody help them. And you were speaking before about gratitude and how it's a fair exchange more than anything. And what I like to get people to at least be open to the idea of receiving is say it takes a lot more generosity to receive than it does to give, at least to get them to start looking at receiving so fair exchange can then be possible. So it's really...
Well, I tell people, what I do is I tell them to make a list of all the things that they've ever thought they've done that they are beating themselves up about, or think they made a mistake, or anything that has any shame or guilt to it. And then write down, how did that serve them, and how did it serve others, whatever they did. Because I always say that if you can't say, no matter what I've done or not done, I'm worthy of love and mean it, and have tears of gratitude for yourself, then you've got some sort of shame or guilt in there.
Yes.
And what you do is every time you do that, you tend to minimize yourself relative to others, and you tend to want to give things to them, but you're not willing to receive. And you tend to go towards altruism, and then you have a hidden agenda of what you want, and you're compensating for guilt of the past. So clear the guilt of the past by finding out how and what you've done in the past that you thought is so terrible, and how it served, and ask, how does it serve the people that are involved? And don't stop until you come up with it. And I guarantee if you look deep enough, it's true. You serve them too. When you do, then you liberate yourself from that, and you allow yourself to receive, and up on your value list goes the ability to receive. You start manifesting more.
That's beautiful. And the way that you have to, the way that you say things that, that comes from where you come from and the way that you learned the things that you learned gave you the ability to speak in the language you speak, which is something that is filled with so much common sense, at least in my opinion, that it would be impossible not to get what you're saying no matter where you're at in life. I mean, what you just said to me, I've heard it a thousand different ways, but never in that way, and never has it gotten into my psyche as it did just now. So
So now tonight you can write down, my God, am I amazing, and how I deserve things. And
yes.
You'll manifest even more.
Yes.
Your radio show will be found that you'll start getting people calling in from other planets soon.
I think they do.
Can I have an order, please?
Yes, exactly. But I really encourage all of the clients that, that my partner and I work with to get the book on how to make one hell of a profit and still get into heaven, because there is such a compelling issue around making a lot of money. It's like you're breaking or betraying some family poverty conscious bond that's unspoken, and you don't know why you keep just hitting up against that filter that won't let you get past a certain amount of income. But really, to have the privilege and the honor to be the one to carry forward that torch into the next generation and break that that poverty consciousness from your ancestors is a wonderful honor. And, you know, what we try to instill in people is that, yes, that is why you're here. We're here to master what our parents never did. That's what evolution is.
Well, I always say that whatever the parents repress, the children express. That's why I try to have as much sex as possible to keep them from having to. but what happens is that if you express it, you know, you go out and give permission for other people to shine.
That's
so I just, in my life, I just decided many years ago, once I kind of got the message on it, that I want to, at the end of my life, be able to say, did I do everything I could with everything I was given? And I want to be able to say yes. I want to be able to say that I have absolutely developed in all seven areas, spiritually, mentally, career, financial, family, social, and physical.
Mm-hmm.
I want to, you know, make a contribution in all seven areas.
Right.
And there's no reason why we can't, because I in my mind, it's impossible for me not to fulfill my mission. And that's a great affirmation. It's been with me for, God, 30 years.
It's impossible for me not to fulfill my mission.
Yeah.
I'm writing while I'm talking. Okay.
Yeah, it's impossible because it's just my destiny.
Right.
I don't even question it. It's done. Everything that goes into my book comes true, and it's if you read it and you go, my God, it's coming true.
Yes.
So it'd be impossible to convince me that defining from your heart what you really truly feel called to do on this planet and writing it down and documenting it and literally visualizing it, reading it, affirming it, thinking about it, taking actions on it every day, be impossible to convince me that it doesn't manifest anything, because by God, my life certainly is.
Absolutely, your living testimony. And I want my life to be a lot like your life. I love what you...
Well, I wouldn't want it to be just like mine.
Not just like, no.
If any two people are exactly the same, one's not necessary. I'd rather you just be like you, but...
I'd be like me, but I want to do the kind of things you're doing and
yeah.
Many people as you're touching and to be a leader who causes leaders, and that's what you're doing. And thank you so much for doing that. I mean, I can tell you that Steve Tullius and Dr. John Holland just, you know, have raved about you, and to have you on my radio show where they're both listening right now, I'm sure is kind of like a surreal experience for them, as it is for me. And
well, they're great guys.
Oh, they certainly are.
They got healing hands and healing hearts and healing minds, and they touch people. I'm grateful that I have colleagues like that in the profession, because, you know, being a chiropractor, I don't get to adjust as much as mm-hmm. I used to, but I certainly love to inspire chiropractors. And
oh, yes.
I'm inspired by meeting ones that go out and do it and make
yeah.
it happen and,
yeah.
and transform and impact the planet healing-wise.
Yeah. Well, I have titanium plate fusion in my neck in 5 and 6, and I let both Steve and Dr. Holland adjust my neck.
Well,
and they do it beautifully.
They got gentle hands. I call them magic hands.
I call them the hands of God.
There you go.
Yeah, totally.
The grand organized designer.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I want to just thank you again, Dr. DeMartini, for being a guest on my show tonight on Spiritual Hollywood. I want to thank Don Newsom for giving us this wonderful platform at bbsradio.com to make a difference and raise consciousness using Hollywood. And I want to give the website for Dr. DeMartini one more time, www.drdemartini.com. That's there's a dot and doctor there, it got me tongue-tied, www.drdemartini.com. Go on the website, check out all of his wonderful books that he has to offer, and put a bunch of them in your bathroom or on your nightstand or anywhere that you can. Keep them with you in your car, and just saturate yourself with this knowledge, and you will achieve everything you set your heart and your mind to, no question about it. And thank you again, and I appreciate your time, Dr. DeMartini.
Oh, and thank you, and I loved it. It was great.
I'd love to.
You're an energetic being who's touching a lot of people's lives, so thank you for helping me.
Oh, you betcha, and right back at you. And when you're in Los Angeles, or think you might be, I don't know how that's going to happen, but I do feel like I'm going to be able to meet you very soon and impact some more people's lives by something. And I just want to put that out there in the airwaves right now that's what I'm open to and collaborating in any way I can.
So I'm looking forward to it.
Me too. So thank you again, and again, thank you, listeners, and see you next week on Spiritual Hollywood at 6 o'clock. Until then, take a deep breath, stand up really straight, and love yourselves. Good night.
Night. Thank you.